Great to have you with us for Garden Talk. Larry Mueller here. The UW Extension recently announced that another invasive plant is starting to kind of creep into Wisconsin. And to tell us about this plant, what it looks like, the problems it can cause, and how to stop it, we have Mark Rentz back with us. Mark is a UW Extension Weed Specialist, professor in the Department of Plant and Agroecosystem Sciences, and he's also a member of the DNR's Wisconsin Invasive Species Council. So as we talk with him, I hope you'll join in. You may have some questions about the plant we're talking about or maybe other invasive weeds. Give a call. The number is 800-642-1234, or you could send an email to talk@wpr.org. Mark Rentz, welcome back. Good to have you with us.
Hey, Larry, how are you?
I am doing good, and I'm wondering, somebody asked me this. I said I was going to have you on, and they said, well, what does a weed scientist do? I said I would ask Mark that right off the bat.
I love that. I always joke when I introduce myself as a weed scientist. I tell people, you can check that off of your bucket list that you met a weed scientist. So weed scientists study plants that are growing out of place and are causing problems with the objectives of land. So in an ag field, it's pretty easy. Weeds are plants that aren't the crop you're trying to harvest and are reducing yields. But in natural areas, it's quite a bit more complicated. And those are a lot of the areas I work in. A lot of these plants will reduce other plants that are present. They might impact wildlife that are there. And then there's a lot of these other ecosystem services that are impacted, like they can change nutrient cycling, change regeneration of forests. And with this species we'll talk about, they can even change fire frequency or fire intensity. So there's lots of impacts that they can have. So I just study those plants that we don't want there or have negative attributes and try and solve or address those problems.
Well, the problem weed that we're going to start with here is called stilt weed, and I took a look at the article that is up on Extension about it. It is a nasty, nasty plant. Well, tell us about stilt weed.
Yeah, it's actually Japanese stilt grass is what it's called, and it's actually a really interesting invasive plant. It's pretty atypical. So everyone's familiar with the crabgrass and it's growing in our lawns. It's in my lawn, and I'm a weed scientist. This is like crabgrass. It's an annual grass, but unlike crabgrass, it can grow in shaded environments, and it can grow and produce a lot of biomass that can outcompete native plants in our understories of our woodlands. So this Japanese stiltgrass is an annual plant that's growing in shaded areas and can dominate some of these landscapes. That's a short overview of this plant.
So I looked at one of the photos. What's the history of how to get into Wisconsin? Maybe do that first.
Well, it's been in the United States before the Depression. So in the 1917, I believe they think it came into the southern parts, and it's a big problem in the Appalachian Smoky Mountains. It's moved up north. It's very prominent in southern Illinois. But we haven't ever seen it in Wisconsin. And in 2020, we got our first present observation in La Crosse, a forest that the DNR owns in La Crosse, and they're actively eradicating that. And we kind of thought, oh, great, maybe that was just a unique situation. And then just this August, I get information that we have a new observation in a woodlot near Beloit. And so because of this secondary observation, which was quite extensive, we decided to do a really aggressive ad campaign to kind of spread the word that this plant is here and we need to be looking for it. And so that's why I'm here today, and I can share some of the results of our initial efforts. We've found three new populations of this since really trying to promote the presence of this plant, which you might think is bad. But the populations we found were all very small, like 30 square feet, 100 square feet, 500 square feet. The size of the table, if you can see the table we're around. So easy to manage. So we kind of view that as a success because it hasn't started impacting the environment yet.
But it the Beloit situation there, that kind of took over. That was a private kind of a private woodlot, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. It's owned by an organization, and when we got first notification of this presence, we went there and observed it. And there's some pretty big patches of it. It's around a 20-acre lot, and it was quite extensive. So clearly, it had been there for probably 5 to 10 years, if not longer. We can't really isolate how it got there, but it's been there for some time. The good news is to our knowledge, it's been isolated to that property. So we're working with DNR to actually eradicate that population. We just started that process.
Oh, and so one in Beloit and one up by La Crosse. You wonder why those spots.
Yeah, and it actually kind of does make some sense to me, but I'm a weed scientist, so I'm crazy, yeah. Right? So this plant spreads by seed. And so any way that seed can move, and so let's think about how a small annual grass seed can move. Doesn't really move in the wind, but it can get on the back of an animal, and it could move. But the best way that it probably moves is it gets onto a piece of our clothing, soil, and our boots, or most likely equipment that's run through and has mud stuck to it. That equipment moves from one site to another site, and that can transport the infestation. And so that's the likely aspect of these. And then once it gets on a site, then we can have wildlife, flood, other things moving it smaller distances.
So maybe we should talk more about what it looks like.
Yeah. So this is, your listeners are going to love this, is us trying to describe a very difficult to identify plant over the radio. But it is, I like to say it's 11 out of 10 on identifying it on the scale of difficulty, because for someone who's not a botanist, because it's a grass. But it's a unique looking grass. It has very small leaves that are rather wide, much wider than a typical turf grass weed. And it has a distinct white midrib in the middle of it. And it kind of looks like, a lot of people say it kind of looks like a small miniature bamboo when you look at some of the pictures. So that's not a very good description. I think we have lots of good resources that walk you through on how to identify it. And we have pictures of lookalikes, grasses, as well as broadleafs that can help identify it. It's hard. And so that's why we're recommending, if you see a grass growing in a forested or a partial sun area that has a white midrib, take a picture and send it to us, to DNR, to an expert. Send it to Larry. Larry will send it to me.
Absolutely.
And we'll get it identified and confirmed.
And actually, Jill's reminding me, we have a photo and a link to the article on our program notes. So on the Larry Mealer Show, if you go there, look at today's date, and we'll have a link to the article on our program notes for today's show. That's stripe down the middle is fairly distinctive.
Yeah, yeah, we have a native Leersia species grass that looks very similar to it, but it does not have that white stripe, and that's really a key thing to be on the lookout for.
So, and getting rid. So, can you? You know, if I find that plant on my backyard, what should I do? I've let you know, but can I get rid of it too?
So number one, let us know. It is a prohibited plant in Wisconsin, which means if it's on your property, you're required by law to manage it, or the DNR can come in and manage it themselves or hire someone to manage it and send you the bill. But I will say they're pretty proactive about this when working with land managers. The good news is it's relatively easy to control. It's an annual. So how do we control annuals? Well, we prevent seed production. So that can be done in a wide range of ways and a wide range of approaches. There are approaches very similar to how we manage crabgrass and lawns with pre-emergent herbicides and even some post-emergent herbicides. You can pull it by hand. There's spot burning or even other options. So lots of options available. It's a relatively easy plant to control. It's just growing in areas that are hard to manage in these forests and woodland areas.
Yeah, and once they get going, that one photo in the story, I mean, it just carpeted a whole area.
Right, exactly, and that's what it does. It creates this dense mat of vegetation, and even though it's a grass, right near the base on the nodes, it creates additional roots. That's why they call it stilts, stilt grass. And that allows it to kind of like grow like a vine over vegetation, and it just dominates it. You see some of these pictures and it just looks just really scary from the south. And so we're trying to stop it from getting a foothold in Wisconsin. And that's why we're here today, and we're really trying to promote people be on the lookout for it.
And we'll talk some more about it. We've got a couple of questions relating to other kinds of weeds. Joseph in Green Bay has something for us. Let's go there. Hi, Joseph.
Hi. So I live like by a protected woodland in like the Alloway area just outside of Green Bay. And there's, I believe, I just kind of used Google where you can use your phone to kind of look at the plant and it tells you what it is.
Yep.
I believe it's an Asian white mulberry. And it says that they typically get planted because of you know, a wildlife that goes to wetlands and birds. But is there any way you can prevent that in any way? I mean, I kind of have just some wild, I have some like kind of wild growth in the back. That's not just my mowed lawn. It's like a little bit of a kind of woods wild area. But man, that stuff lately just keeps growing, and I dig them off and they keep coming, and the roots are strong. And it keeps coming.
Yeah, so any of these woody plants can be really problematic and difficult because we don't see them until they're big and massive, and then it takes a lot of energy and resources to manage it. Like I just mentioned with stiltgrass, there's a wide range of techniques that are available that are specific to the species. So what you'll hear me say is management is species specific, so go and look up management techniques for this specific species. You can type in the name of the species into Google or go to my website, and we have lots of resources on management. Woody invasives of the Great Lakes, Wiggle is a great resource. It talks about the woody invasives. I would have you double check Google's AI algorithm on identification. Those are good tools that can be used. By our estimations, they're right about 70-80% of the time. So it's a pretty good percentage that they're right, but when they're wrong, they can be really, really wrong and lead you astray. So maybe snap a picture, send it to me or an expert, and we can confirm identification. Then we can work with you on getting you the right tools to manage. There's definitely options available, though.
Okay. Joseph, there you go. Thanks for calling. David in Madison has a question, too. Hi, David.
Yeah, hi. This is David from Madison. I have porcelain berry in my yard, and I just learned about it, and I'm looking to get rid of it. My neighbors have some of it, too. And I guess kind of two questions. First of all, what's the best way to get rid of it? And second, do you have any suggestions for educating my neighbors about the dangers of this new invasive?
Yeah, great question. And for those that live in Madison and nearby, unfortunately, we were one of the spots where it was recommended and widely planted before we realized it is an invasive plant and we shouldn't be planting it. So, David, you have some of the previous landowners in Wisconsin to thank for that problem before we got word spread. So it is another woody vine to woody plant, and there are a range of methods that are effective. It really depends on what you're willing to partake. I think this is really a community effort, and so trying to educate your neighbors is really a good idea because you can do your best to manage it, but it's always going to come back from that other side of the fence. Use of herbicides is probably going to be the most efficient method, but that comes with some risks. And so I think really trying to get a better understanding of exactly where it grows before I recommend one specific approach. But there's lots of individual plant treatment methods where you can cut the stem, paint a concentrated herbicide on the surface of the stem, and that can get really good results with minimal to no off-target potential. But if you want to send me an email, I can, again, give you more specific information if you give me more decisions. Mm-hmm. Now, how to educate your neighbors is we have some great resources on invasive plants on our website, and you could maybe just print those out and hand those to the neighbor and say, look, this is an invasive plant. This is bad. This is regulated by the state of Wisconsin. And ask if you can work together to manage it. I think that's the approach. And do it in a positive way, not a negative way, like, you have this, you have to get rid of this, or I'm turning you in. Those almost always end up in bad results. And so try to work proactively, and we have some great resources you could share with your neighbor.
And what's the website David should go to?
Yeah, it's wrensweedscience@cals.wisc.edu.
And Wrens is R-E-N-Z.
Yeah.
Wrens,
yep.
What is it again?
Wrens Weed Science. So if you just Google Wrens Weed Science, it'll pop up. And then we have a tab that's invasive plant identification. If you go on there, we have over 100 slides of the over 100 invasive regulated species in Wisconsin. That's really useful.
All right, David, there you go. Thank you very much for calling. Michelle emailed, she has some pokeweed behind her shed and she just got a puppy. Is pokeweed toxic to dogs and how does she safely remove it?
So pokeweed's a really, really interesting story. So pokeweed, we have a native version and then a non-native invasive version. And the story goes that Madison is a hotspot for the invasive version, and someone at the medical hospital planted a bunch of it in Wisconsin and thought they were planting the native and ended up planting the non-native. And that's why we have a bunch of it. So the first thing I would do is try and identify if it's the native or the invasive. We have a lot of the common ones too, and we've got some resources on our website to tell the difference. What I would do is the easiest thing to do is both the native and non-native do have toxic properties that you do need to be aware of. And probably the best thing to do is just take a shovel at this time of the year and just cut it right below the soil surface. It may resprout, but it'll only grow like an inch or so as we're this close to fall, and then you'll be safe from that. I don't recall if it's the berries that are toxic or if it's actually the leaf material, but I think just cut it, throw away that leaf material in your garbage can, and you should be good to go and safe for your puppies.
Leslie in Cottage Grove emailed, she had to remove an overgrown arborvitae tree from her front walk and was told to put the herbicide Tordon, RTU, on the stump. Now the adjacent bushes seem to be dying. Did that herbicide, she put it on the stump, but she's wondering, did the herbicide somehow drift from the stump of the arborvitae and is killing the front bushes? Also, her well is about 25 feet from the site where this happened. Mm-hmm. Have they compromised the well?
So, it's likely that Tordon has moved off of that cut surface. It's a very effective way to control woody plants to use this herbicide. But the active ingredient in Tordon RTU is picloram, and that... And what happens is that will be absorbed into the plant and the roots. And after it kills that plant, the roots break down. And as those roots break down, where does that herbicide go? It gets released back into the soil. And so that's what's likely then being taken up by those other plants. I'm seeing the picture. Is that the picture there, Larry?
Yeah, that's the photo.
And that's likely what's causing the damage. There are other herbicides that don't have this persistence that picloram, the active ingredient Tordon RTU, has that should have been used that would have given as good a control. So I think she got some bad advice, to be honest. As far as the groundwater and well water, this can move in the soil. It does not move. It moves to a moderate degree. I'd recommend that she test her soil water just to be safe, but I would bet that there's not going to be a problem there, because even though you applied a concentrated solution to that cut surface, it's still a relatively small amount and has to move, down into the well through all that soil. And it does break down in the soil, but test it just to be safe so you can sleep at night.
Mark Renz, our guest, UW-Madison Extension weed scientist. I'm Larry Mueller for Garden Talk here on WPR News. Great to have you along today on WPR News and Garden Talk. Larry Mueller here with my guest today, Mark Renz, UW-Madison Extension weed scientist. It's great to have him with us. And questions, again, we still have some time. Give a call. The number is 800-642-1234. Email to talk at WPR.org. And we were talking about stilt grass to start the show, but we're taking other weed questions as well as we move along. And you're part of the DNR's Wisconsin Invasive Species Council. What does that council do?
Yeah, so Wisconsin DNR is responsible for regulating invasive species. And I can't remember how many years ago, as a function of that, they wanted to have a council that could help advise DNR on how to regulate this, and they update the regulations. And so I'm one member of about 10 or 15 that are on this council. And as they update our invasive species rule, NR40, our prime efforts are to bring in others, other opinions, and make sure that they're conducting it with the best science and giving recommendations on how they move forward with that rule. We're currently under a revision right now, so we just had a meeting this week where we've been discussing updates to what the invasive species rule. Currently, we regulate over 130 just plants alone, so it's a very large list, very complicated, and that's being updated because unlike we think, the reality is plants don't stay the same. They change over time and they move, and so we need to update the rules as invasions get worse, or in very few instances do get better. For the most case, they just get worse. And so how bad do they get?
Dave in Fitchburg, we'll give you a chance to join in. Hi, Dave.
Hi, Larry. Great show, like always. Hey, I have a question that I'm sure if you guys don't know, listeners can. There's there's a weed that creeps up like pine trees and things along 39, actually just south of Plover, you know, between those tree lines that break up the potato fields.
Yep.
And
I know
it's
exactly
a little triangle.
Mm-hmm.
It's a light green, you know, kind of fluorescent green kind of color. What is that?
So we have two, it could be one of two species. It could either be wild cucumber or burr cucumber. And believe it or not, even though those look invasive and like really, really impactful, those are both native plants to Wisconsin. That it's an annual vine that grows from seed every year. They're related to cucumbers, and they come up and look horrible at this time of the year. But then, you know, in a month, they'll all be dead from the frost and the trees look fine. So we get one to two calls every year saying, oh, we got to manage this invasive plant. And it's just a weed. It's just a plant that we don't want growing there. We don't even really think it really impacts those trees that it grows on because it doesn't become prolific until now. But boy, does it sure look bad right now at this time. I can attest to that. Drive by it all the time.
Thanks, Dave. Appreciate the call. And Diane in Ashland, your turn. Hi, Diane.
Hi, how are you today, Larry? Good. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure thing. What can we do for you?
I have an issue with milkweed in my field that I grazed my sheep and goats, and I have just found out that milkweed is toxic to those animals, and I'm wondering how I can get rid of that because it's spreading.
Right. So milkweed is a native plant, very beneficial to monarchs, but it does have toxic principles. Is it the broadleaf milkweed that has a very broad leaf that's several inches in diameter and like maybe 6 or 8 inches long? Or is it one that has very narrow leaves?
I don't think they're that big. Well, they could get that big when the plant is higher. It can grow, you know, 2 to 3 feet high with real wide leaves and big pods about 3 to 4 inches.
Yep. So that sounds like it's the broadleaf milkweed. The good news with that one is that's one of the least poisonous milkweeds of all the ones that we have. So that's the good news. The bad news is it's very difficult to manage if you want to eliminate it. So I think the first thing I would do is, if you know this, please let me know. But I would go out and evaluate, are your animals actually eating it? Because what we find is milkweed is highly unpalatable to almost all livestock, and they just avoid it. So even though it's unsightly and it's spreading, you may not need to manage it if they're not chewing or nibbling on the leaves. Do you have any indication that they're feeding on it?
No, I don't know that for sure, but that's a really good point, just to go out and see if they are actually eating it.
because the other options are going to be to do intensive mowing, spraying lots of herbicides, and to be honest, neither of those work very well. You might just reduce a population by like 50 to 60% and spend a bunch of time and money. So I would start there and see if they're feeding on it. And if they are, then maybe send me an email or get back in touch with me and we can talk about some other options. If they're not, I would just keep a close eye on that and you're likely okay. It's in a lot of our pastures in Wisconsin.
All right. There you go, Diane. Thank you so much. And here we are out of time. Mark, what's your address again, the Wrens at?
So my website is wrensweedscience@cals.wisc.edu. Or you can always send me an email at mrenz@wisc.edu.
Always a pleasure, Mark. Boy, the time flew. Thanks so much for being with us today. I really appreciate it. And we'll get you back and we'll do this again. Thanks.
You bet. Love it, Larry. Take care.
And thank you for joining us today. And thanks to our producers, Clara Neipert, Joel Patnaud, our technical directors, Jeff Robbins on the board today, and Lee Rayburn. Our executive producer is Jill Nadeau. I'm Larry Mueller, and thank you for listening. And stay with us. Lots more in store here on WPR News.